Welcome to Enabled, the weekly program about people just like you who are dealing with issues of vision loss. The program is designed to encourage you through news you can use, inspirational stories, and interviews. I'm Nancy Zimmer, your host for Enabled. Thank you for joining me. Time to buy a new washer or dryer. Wow, that's when the anxiety starts, or maybe it's all-out panic, especially if you have to buy one in a hurry. Well, in this program, I'll bring you information about buying a new washer and or a new dryer, and maybe you should buy both at the same time. So here we go to sort this laundry question out. Before I start, though, a reminder that we do not endorse any of these products. We just thought you should know about them. This all started because of an article that was featured in USA Today newspaper recently. Actually, it was published on Sunday, March 9th. The overall headline is a spring cleaning department, and this is an article about the best washer and dryer sets. The introduction I'll read to you, and then we'll go to an article from the American Federation for the Blind with some good information for you. But the article, the introduction, Washer and Dryer Sets, written by Jonathan Chan and Julia McDougall. Buying a new washer and dryer can be a daunting task. Whether you have just moved into a new home or your old set finally died, it can be hard to know where to start. Typically, you can shop around in one of two ways. Assuming you have a healthy budget, you can buy the best washer and the best dryer separately. And if you're looking for a discount, you can sometimes bundle the washer and dryer together for a lower price. But most people spend the bulk of their time and effort researching the washer and then pick up the matching dryer as an afterthought. While washers do have more of an impact on your laundry day experience, you also don't want to get stuck with a bad dryer and damp clothes for the next decade. So next we have, after that advice, we have just a short, quick diversion here about the best laundry detergent. Oh, before I get there, the washer and dryer sets that they ranked, the first one was an Electrolux. I never knew that they did washers and dryers. Electrolux, followed by an LG model, and followed by a Miele, M-I-E-L-E, washer, and followed by an Electrolux washer, another Electrolux. And we'll get into more details about ones that are accessible in a little while. But in the meantime, that diversion into the best laundry detergents, this was written by Jonathan Chan. And once again, it's from the USA Today newspaper. Best detergents. Americans will spend billions of dollars every year on laundry detergents. Most people will buy a detergent that they like the smell of, or has features that they like, or, let's be honest, the one that's on sale. All of this is fine, provided you don't care about getting your clothes as clean as they can be. Our lab tests found some detergents clean much better than others. This extra cleaning power can mean the difference between there being subtle stains left behind on a garment and spotlessness. So to find the best laundry detergent, we pitted the top-selling liquid cleaners against each other to see which clean reigns supreme. We subjected 7 detergents featured in this guide to a variety of tests, including stain removal, scent ratings, and cost analyses. Plant-based alternatives are a great choice if you're wary of the chemicals found in optical brightening agents. So that was just a peek at the best detergents. These are the best ones that they found, tested, they're ranked. First of all, was one, again, that I had never heard of. I think I might be living in a bubble. The brand name is Persil, P-E-R-S-I-L. The product is called Persil Pro Clean. That was the number one, the best laundry detergent. Number 2 was Tide Original. 3, Kirkland Ultra Clean. Number 4, Gain Original. Number 5, Purex. Number 6, Arm & Hammer Clean Burst. And number 7, the all product called Free and Clear. Those are the best laundry detergents, including that first one, Persil, P-E-R-S-I-L. I'm going to look the next time I'm in a big store. Okay, so now we will switch to some information from the American Foundation for the Blind, the afb.org, and we will get into more discussion of accessibility in this part. So we've got washers and dryers, and once again, don't forget, we're not recommending any of these. WXXI Reach Out Radio is not recommending any of these. We just wanted to get the information to you. And another disclaimer of sorts here. Struggle as I did and try as hard as I did, I could not find an actual date for when this research was done. So with that in mind, some of these models just may not be available, but I did try to figure that out for you. So the article starts with an overview. Vast changes in laundry room technology are taking place. Control types and control behavior reflect this rapid pace of change. Because many washers and dryers are designed and sold as a pair, the behavior of the controls is usually similar on both. The desire to decrease the amount of water that's used to wash a load of laundry has driven a generous application of high technology in the previously low technology surroundings of the laundry room. Two trends are immediately obvious as you walk up and down the rows of washers and dryers: front loading and electronic controls. Each embodies two interrelated strategies to the challenge of washing more clothes with much less water. Front loading machines, by their design, require less water. Advanced load sensing technology allows the unit to use only the amount of water that is required for the actual load. Because electronics and computer chip brains are on board, vastly more elaborate control systems are possible. These controls, when accessible, provide equally flexible control for those who use non-visual strategies. When the accessibility is poor, the result is equipment that, we believe, cannot be used independently by people who are blind or have low vision. The next section is called Current Accessibility. Conventional top-loading washing machines and their front-loading dryer counterparts are still available. These models use the traditional turn-the-knob controls that most of us grew up with. The controls differ from brand to brand. Some have an easy-to-feel point on the control dial. The dial clicks as you move from cycle to cycle, making it easy and predictable to set. Some top loaders, which appear to have traditional controls, have in fact been updated with electronic controls. GE washers, this is the first of the brands that's mentioned, GE washers are the most prominent example. A clear, identifiable pointer chooses from among a dozen or so cycle options. Similar pointers on the feature setting controls are also easy to feel and click as you manipulate them. This was GE. The differences in brands among front-loading and some high-tech top-loading units are striking. Unlike its dishwashers, washers and dryers from a company called Bosch, B-O-S-C-H, appear to be essentially inaccessible. Virtual knobs and controls select among cycles that are displayed on menus. With these new control designs, a large rotary control moves a pointer up and down a display menu of options. The function of the control changes with each menu on the display. Tracking the location and option for each position of the control is either impractical or impossible with these virtual controls, and it is necessary to select them to adjust even the simple settings, such as temperature and spin speed. This was in regard to the Bosch units, B-O-S-C-H. Top-of-the-line LG units, that's another brand name, LG, top-of-the-line LG units, also highly regarded by many, use a series of lights and a large virtual dial to select the wash cycle. As the control is turned, status lights for wash cycle, temperatures, rinse options, and so forth move progressively among the possible choices. Distinct clicks can be felt, with each change being accompanied by a clear, repeating tone. This was on the LG units. The behavior of the controls and the washer-dryer pairs in these brands was similar. Next brand is Whirlpool. Whirlpool offers remarkably accessible controls on a line that's called Duet, D-U-E-T. And I did find that this particular line has been discontinued, but it's replaced by what they're calling a front-loading stackable product. They didn't give it a name, but a good salesman will be able to tell you that these Whirlpool used to be remarkably accessible Duet line of washers and dryers. Easy to feel pointers. This is on the ones that were discontinued, so be sure you go ahead with caution on this. Easy to feel pointers allow for the unmistakable selection of wash and dryer cycles. The up and down buttons facilitate changes in the cycle's default settings. The most important feature is the pattern of descending tones, which allows the verification of a specific choice by sound. If three choices are available for spin speed, three different tones are heard as the choices are indicated. Unfortunately, that sounds ideal, doesn't it? This is the Whirlpool Duet models, which I've sort of found out have been discontinued. Next section, GE and Frigidaire front-loading washers. These are the new ones. You load them from the front. GE and Frigidaire front-loading washers are inaccessible because of the use of an endlessly turning selector knob, as in the Bosch and the LG as well. A Frigidaire dryer, counterpart to the front-loading washer, was found to be useful by virtue of a rotary knob that has a stop at each end, allowing you to count clicks corresponding to the cycles. This was a Frigidaire dryer. The article continues by saying a trend toward mid-sized washers, 3.3 to 3.5 cubic foot capacity. This trend establishes a new size class for front-loading machines. True to its record for inclusive design, again, the Whirlpool Duet offers controls that are distinct and can be felt. LG, another brand, now offers what they call a Tron, T-R-O-N-N, from LG. LG offers a Tron supercapacity machine, the controls of which are quite useful. The five washing cycles are each represented by a small light placed in a ring surrounding the large round control. Following the recessed light and pressing on the outer portion of the ring selects the cycle. Manipulating the buttons that adjust the spin speed, water temperature, and so forth is easy thanks to a clear chime that's heard each time a button is pressed. If you are comfortable with counting and pressing to make adjustments, this LG Tron supercapacity may be of particular interest to you. Sears Kenmore offers the Oasis Canyon machine. This is billed as the largest washer available. It may also be considered the most inaccessible that we've found. A continuously turning knob selects cycles, and hard-to-feel bubble controls adjust the settings. The turn knob felt sloppy, with poorly differentiated stop positions. To make matters worse, no audible tones were detectable, not even when turning the machine on and off. And this was for the Sears Kenmore. And once again, a question I had about this, couldn't find the answer for you, so it's up to you. Sears sort of went out of business, didn't they? And I don't know whether these appliances are still sold in those smaller stores that they have. I think they're called the Sears neighborhood stores. They might be out there. And this, anyhow, was the Sears Kenmore Oasis Canon machine, and they did not like the way the controls were set up on that one. The next one they talk about is the Whirlpool, and this offers a version of the same washer, which the Whirlpool company calls the Cabrio, C-A-B-R-I-O. It uses controls which are similar to the Duet Sport. Now that was a good machine way up above, I think. Okay, Whirlpool, perhaps, Cabrio. The next one they offer, they mention, is a brand called Fisher and Paykel. That's Fisher, F-I-S-H-E-R, and P-A-Y-K-E-L. That's the name of a brand of washing machine that I'd never heard of. Fisher & Paykel has a high-tech control interface that may be the most accessible offered on any washer, and that was the Fisher Paykel machine. Pressing the various soft-touch embossed buttons on the control panel makes cycle selections. Adjusting the water temperature, spin speed, and water level by use of up and down buttons is easy because reaching the top or bottom of each menu results in a different sounding beep. Pressing the off button clears all the settings. A matching dryer, this is for the Fisher Paykel line, a matching dryer that uses a novel top-loading design for a dryer employs the same control strategy. So see if you can find one of those models to check them out if you're looking to buy new ones. Fisher Paykel, F-I-S-H-E-R-P-A-Y-K-E-L. So we come to the next section. Again, this article is from the American Foundation for the Blind. Best options for top-loading conventional washers and their dryer counterparts. Many models from GE, Whirlpool, Sears Kenmore, Maytag, and other brands are all very usable. We understand from consumer reporting magazines and experts in the sales of laundry equipment that the effectiveness of the new top loaders differs dramatically. So balancing accessibility needs against effectiveness is critical. The basic Fisher Paykel unit, while high efficiency, is a top loading design and offers remarkably usable controls. Moving on to front-loading units, such as the Whirlpool Duet, again with a question whether it still is offered, the Whirlpool Duet offers the most accessible controls for the front-loading units. The unique patterns of tones offer a high level of information, making cycle selection easy. A Sears Kenmore counterpart, model number HE5T, is similar, but lacks a pointer control to indicate the selected cycle. If you want to count and press controls to choose cycles, then the brands LG, Samsung, and some Frigidaire models may be of interest. This article ends with a brief comment about shopping strategies. The larger retailers will offer the broadest selection of laundry room equipment, the large retailers. If you are concerned about the controls on a unit, you can request that an extension cord be used to connect it to an outlet right there in the showroom. No harm will result to a washing machine using the controls when the unit's not connected to a water supply. For an electric dryer you're considering, connecting it to power probably isn't practical. I figured out because they use a higher, you know, like 220 volts or something to hook up an electric dryer. But a gas model of a dryer, which uses similar controls, can be connected, allowing you to evaluate the behavior of the controls. Some awfully good tips in that article, I think. So next we switch to an article called Learning About Your Appliance. This was from the American Foundation for the Blind as well, afb.org. This is assuming once you decide on one that you're going to get. The article says, although the availability of accessible controls has clearly diminished over the past several years, an adequate supply of devices with ambiguous controls remains available and at all price levels. Once you choose an appliance, plan to spend some time learning about it. AFB Tech, which is the name of this publication, AFB Tech has gathered user feedback from a group published in a magazine, or their website called Access World. And they are publishing in this article the salient points. Number one, plan to work with a reader or an assistant to learn about your new appliance. While the geekier or technically motivated may want to just plug in the new washer and see what the controls do, most people benefit from some focused time with a reader or an assistant. When they were given specific instructions about the appliance with ambiguous controls, all the participants in this AFB Tech's usability group did the testing, reported a positive shift in their confidence in using the appliance following instruction and information from someone who could describe the device. Number two, this is learning about your appliance, take notes. The participants who took notes, several Braille readers, reported high confidence levels in using the touch controls. The notes you take help keep you oriented to the controls and keep track of your settings. Number three, plan to mark the appliance yourself. Each of the participants in this group had unique strategies for applying tactile markings to the controls of their own appliances. Some participants stated that they used markings only when an appliance was new, while others reported that they maintained their tactile markings for the entire life of their appliance. Now, a little comment from me here. I would be lost without my touch dots on my dishwasher. I've got the start button and the cancel button all marked with a touch dot. What do you call those things? You know what I mean. I've also got them on my microwave, one for the start and one for the stop. That works if I'm in a hurry. So back to the article now, tip number 4 on learning about your appliance. Create a reference card or a cheat sheet in Braille or large print, whatever works for you. Include information that's meaningful to you, such as a step-by-step list of instructions or a description of controls as they are encountered on the appliance. Many participants responded affirmatively to the availability of such a reference card. The 5th tip, accessible documentation may be available for some models. A survey of several websites, including those for Whirlpool or Frigidaire, revealed different levels of accessibility to the company's websites and product literature. Several of the PDF versions of the washer-dryer manuals that we examined were not tagged sufficiently to provide good readability with Adobe Reader and a screen reader. But hey, might as well give it a try, right? What can you lose? Tip number 6, contact the manufacturer for detailed information. In a test call, a KitchenAid representative was able to discover many, a KitchenAid representative and I were able to discover many important characteristics about, in this case, the company's wall ovens by reading the manual together. In addition to sharing the manual in PDF while we talked, this KitchenAid representative read extensive passages from it, allowing me to make detailed notes. She also invited me to call back anytime if I desired more information, including more information from the manual. And I'll just repeat that. That was from a KitchenAid representative. Tip number 7, ask about Braille and other kinds of labels. Whirlpool and GE offer many templates and kits to mark their appliances. Other manufacturers may also provide these materials upon request. And the final tip in this article from the American Foundation for the Blind says, ask others about their experiences. If it is true that word of mouth is the best advertising, surely it is true for accessibility. There is nothing better than hearing about appliances firsthand from others who use them the same way that you do. In addition to your best friends who are blind or have low vision, several websites on the internet allow you to download and listen to or read the reviews of many products. I'll be giving you the websites right now. The websites include one called blindcoolteh.com. For reviews of the products. Another website for a review would be www.acbradio.org. acbradio.org. ACB Radio. And another website that might give you product reviews, voiceofthenationsblind.org. Voice of the Nations Blind, NATIONS. BLIND, voiceofthenationsblind.org. Consult those websites for reviews of appliances that you might be shopping for. Finally, we have an article, again, from the AFB.org, the kinds of controls that you will encounter. This generally covers the 3 types of controls. This article was written in regard to all appliances, not just washers and dryers. AFB Tech has defined 3 classes of controls that cover the range of accessibility that we observed on the market. These 3 classes, they are calling accessible controls, inaccessible controls, and ambiguous controls. Accessible, let's start with the ambiguous one first. That's the middle one, halfway between accessible and inaccessible. We'll start with the ambiguous controls. Ambiguous controls fall in between the accessible and inaccessible classes. The ambiguous control provides at least some feedback to the user. Examples include oven controls that set a default temperature of 350 degrees when it's turned on. Pressing textured regions on the smooth control panel activates the controls. Pressing the up and down controls increases or decreases the temperature by 5 degrees for each press of the control. In addition to changing the temperature, a distinct beep is heard as each control is pressed. By counting beeps, one can set the temperature accurately. Direct verification of the temperature is not provided because direct observation of the display is not possible with the electronic oven control. This ambiguity creates a situation in which it's possible to set the oven non-visually, but full independent access to the information on the display is not provided. You can transfer this information over to washer and dryer controls, where you have partial control of the washer or dryer, but not total control. So now let's see what they say about accessible controls. Accessible controls are those that have historically been provided on appliances, including conventional turn knobs, such as those that are found on stove burners and dryers. Mechanical push buttons that latch or change position when engaged also fall into this category. In almost all instances, accessible controls can be felt to determine their status. For example, on a stove, reaching to feel the burner control at the 9 o'clock position would let the cook know that the burner is set to simmer. Feeling the pointer on a dryer control periodically as the cycle progresses would allow the user to predict just how much longer the cycle will take. Of these three classes of controls, these are the only ones, accessible controls now, the only ones that allow a person who is blind both to position the appliance settings and to confirm that those settings, confirm the settings independently while the appliance is operating. And I don't know, do I need to read the next section? Inaccessible controls. They define them as providing no means of direct tactile identification or no means of direct observation of the status of the appliance. They are typified by the flat touch panel that's found on the majority of, like, microwave ovens and many other appliances, such as wall ovens and dishwashers. Inaccessible controls require modification to be usable non-visually. In some instances, even modification, such as the use of Braille or other tactile markings, cannot mediate the inaccessible behavior of these inaccessible controls. Well, a quick summary for you in today's program. We got you thinking about how to deal with the process of buying a new washer or dryer. I hope you also got some tips about the accessibility of the controls on that new appliance. Don't forget, though, we don't endorse any of these things. We just wanted to let you know about them. Here's a quote for you to think about. Actually, this is a sign that you could hang near that new washing machine. It would say, "The laundry room, sorting life out one load at a time." I don't know who first said that, but thank you for listening, and I hope you have a great week. You've been listening to Enabled, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. Our technical director is Maureen Rich, and I'm Nancy Zimmer. I hope you'll join me again next week for more updates and information and encouraging stories. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can listen to it at our website, wxxi.org.